Hi, welcome to Beer Buzz TV. I'm Liz, this is Brian, and today we're drinking with Van from Gigantic Brewing. So Van, tell us about how your love affair with beer began.
I was a kid whose dad drank Michelob. I still to this day will tell anyone who will listen to me that Michelob is an amazing beer. Because I grew up at the age of, I don't know, 4 or 5, starting to drink my dad's Michelob. And I was like, I swear to you. Dad would be like, you want a little boy? And I'd be like, yeah. And I'd just take a little sip. I was a kid, but it always tasted good to me. I've kind of always liked beer. I don't know.
Usually parents do that to deter their children, because children take one sip and go, ugh, you know, wine, beer, but not you. You were in
it. When was the last time you had a Michelob?
From the beginning. Well, that's right.
That's when you'll find out. You'll be like, holy crap.
So, from the age of 4 or 5, you liked beer.
Yeah.
When did you know you wanted to start your own brewery?
Oh, God. I got out of college and I started a PhD program in economics at University of Minnesota. And did that for a couple years and kind of lost faith in economics and had to find something else to do, right? And I was doing a little bit of home brewing at the time, and I'd always been working on cars my whole life. And frankly, there were no really good foreign car service shops that I wanted to work for in Minneapolis, so I took a job at a brewery. But at first, I didn't even necessarily want to start my own brewery. I thought that would be really a cool thing. I mean, this was a long time ago. This was in 1994. But I figured, I mean, in 94, there weren't a lot of breweries around,
right.
You know? And there wasn't a lot of knowledge out there. And so I sort of thought, well, I should take a job at a brewery first, learn something, and then maybe I'll start my own brewery. And so I did that. I took a job at a brewery, and then I got a job at a large brew pub company, and I kind of moved around the country and did some things with them. And then I was running my own brewery just inside this big company. And it was cool. I liked it. And then I thought, oh, I don't like this anymore. And I don't know, maybe 6 years after that, I went through this period of like, I really want to open up my own brew pub. And then I realized, that's a stupid idea, because a brew pub is an unhappy marriage, I always say. That's always like people who come from restaurants and brewers, and they don't communicate at all with each other. No one will tell you this, it's the fucking truth. So then I was like, oh, fuck, I'm not doing that. So then I was like, I really just need to get a job at a bigger brewery. So, and then I got fired. So I was working for Rock Bottom Breweries, and which is a large group of brew pubs nationwide. And in 2010, they got bought by an equity partnership group and lumped together with Gordon Biersch. And in that merger, some decisions were made that I thought were a really, really bad thing for the brewers in the company, and therefore my friends, and therefore my personal reputation and everything that I've worked so hard to do. So I ended up sort of talking kind of publicly about what a terrible decision I thought they were making.
You were vocal, Van?
I know, it's so strange.
Wow.
It's unbelievable.
And it even got you fired.
And so I got fired for saying that I thought every decision they were making about beer was a terrible business decision. I was right.
Can't take criticism, I guess.
No. So I got fired. And then suddenly when you're fired, like, you have to. I needed a job. So my only options at that point were moving to Eastern Idaho to work for a friend's brewery, which I would have done. I really would have done. It was either that or start a brewery. And so my business partner, Ben Love, I'd been talking to him about some other things and other side projects unrelated. And then he was like, you just got fired. We should kind of do something together. So we kind of wrote a business plan. And started a brewery. It's worked out well. It's been good. It was the right decision. But I mean, I really kind of stumbled into this.
I was going to ask you what the first steps were once you knew you wanted to start your own brewery. You had Ben as a partner.
Right.
Did you write a business plan? Did you take out a loan? Did you get investors? Like, how did you start?
So the worst thing in the world is the fact that Don Younger, bless his eternal soul, had told me like maybe 6 years before, let me fucking tell you something, Van, never write a fucking business plan. Waste a goddamn time. And I was like, Don Younger says, so therefore I will. And So Ben and I started talking. I was like, we're not writing a goddamn business plan because Don said it's bullshit. And then the real tragedy, honestly, the real tragedy is that we were starting to write the business plan and Don died. But
no connection.
No.
And he's not rolling in his grave right now. No.
He's just fucking fan. And so what we started to do is we said, okay, we'll just write up some spreadsheets, just run the numbers first, right? So, you know, you have to do this really, really boring crap where you're sort of like, how much are we going to sell beer for? How much do you think we can sell? What are all of our costs? Blah, 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 blah. Put it in. Start doing monthly calculations to know if you can get cash flow. All this really super non-brewery stuff. I was in a PhD program in economics. It's fine. It's not a big deal, right? But it's not easy for a lot of people. A lot of people's business plans are garbage. So we were just going to initially start with just the spreadsheets and be like, hey, this is viable. Let's do this. And then we realized, oh, but if we're going to go look for money from people, they're going to want to know a few things about the business. So we're like, okay, we're not writing a business plan. Not going to happen. But we got to write a few things down. Okay, so we'll write this, we'll write this, we'll write this. And then like a week later, I was like, God damn, we fucking wrote a business plan. God damn it.
Business plan.
Son of a...
Stumbled into a business plan.
Terrible. It's the worst. I feel like such an asshole. So we wrote a business plan. And we had talked to other friends in the industry about how to, like, good ways to get funding and good funding models. So I'm not ashamed to say that we talked to our friends at Double Mountain, Charlie Devereaux and Matt Swihart. And they give us a sort of blueprint for here's a good way to get money. And so once we had that all sorted, then, you know, the first thing you do is you go to your parents and just so you have someone who, you know, isn't going to laugh in your face, look at everything. And I'm a havoc. So my parents looked at it and said, yeah, we don't think an equity position is really going to work out for your mother and I. That's what my dad said. So my parents don't own anything in the business. Gave us a loan. It was good. And then we went out and, you know, kind of fished it around to everybody. And then it's really, I mean, that's kind of the, it's a pain in the ass, you know? You're going to everyone you know and you know, old friends and relatives and people that you sort of have tertiary relationships with because you have no idea. And you don't really want to walk up to them and be like, so, hey, I'm here to talk to you about an incredible opportunity for you, you know?
I made a business plan.
Yeah. Don Younger wants to kill me. Here's my business plan. You end up sort of saying, you know, so how are things going? They're right. I don't know. Trying to start a brewery. Don't say anything else. If they're interested, they'll talk to you. And we did that. And it's funny, you know, I got investment from a guy that I casually do some very small-time automotive racing with. You know, I was just talking to him at a race one day, and he was like, you're doing what? It's like, yeah, I'm doing this. He's like, send me a business plan. All right. And I don't know. Soon after, the funny thing is, soon after the brewery started, a bunch of other people that I race with a little bit were like, why didn't you talk to me? Mm-hmm. It's like, oh, right, guys who have cars have money.
So Van, then, did you fund mostly with private investors as opposed to doing an SBA loan or taking out a traditional bank loan?
We have no formal loans at all. So everything is just private individuals. Gigantic was really started by a consortium of 23. We're gonna call them parties because some of them are like, you know, married couples or whatever. But there's 23 members in the LLC essentially. A lot of them are like just old friends of mine, you know, friends that I went to college with or whatnot, you know, and most people don't have that big of an investment. I mean, it's $10,000 here, $20,000. We've only got a few people that have invested 50 grand. Mm-hmm. You know, almost everything's 10 and 20. We started the business on a relative shoestring. We started it with 630 grand, which sounds like, you know, if you're sitting at home, you know, and the biggest purchase I've ever made is a Honda. I mean, 630 grand sounds like, dude, I'm going to be driving Aston Martin DB4s, you know. But 630 for a brewery is really not a lot of money. And because Ben and I were already working brewers, we sort of, it's the curse of being a working brewer. You know what you actually need to do, right? So the problem is, we understood things like, you build a brewery once. That means you've got one chance to put the floor down. So our floor cost almost $40,000. You start with 630 and you spent 40 grand on a floor.
Ooh, yeah, there's that moment.
You know? So all this stuff adds up really quickly. And like I said, I was unemployed. I needed an income. So we were paying me and Ben eventually, during that startup phase when we had zero income for months, you know? But we were fortunate to be able to get private people to invest because they're more forgiving. We haven't had to rely on any forgiveness or anything like that. We've been cash positive for a very, very long time. But it's nice to not know that you've got that kind of, you know, your head's in the guillotine, you know, with the bank a little bit, you know, so.
So what year did Gigantic Brewing actually open? Right. And be honest with us, how hard was the first year?
Oh, God. So Ben and I started talking about the business plan and stuff in late January of 2011, okay? We got our first brews in the kettle in early April 2012. So that's actually pretty fast from beginning of thought to brewing. It's just, what, 15 months? And then we opened the doors in May. Things were sort of okay until we started construction. Once we started construction in late November, God, it was bad. My wife and I figured out that I had less than 5 days off between late November and the end of June. And that's not days off like, oh, it's Saturday. Hold on, I got to answer emails. No, that's like, oh, it's Saturday. I have to go in the brewery and work for 6 hours, you know. It was really common for me that first whole year of construction. Well, from November to the following January when we finally hired someone else, it was not uncommon for me to come into work at 6:30, do a double brew, be finished at about 6:30 or 7:30, and then have to do some stuff in the office for a couple hours. That was not uncommon. It was a short, like 9 hours was a short day. It was a short day.
So for all of those people sitting in front of computers or in cubicles thinking that starting your own brewery is a glamorous thing to do,
it's gonna be great.
Do they really know what it's like to work 14-hour, 15-hour days?
Yeah, and it's not
with no vacation.
It's not like, oh, work 10-hour days. Yeah, and you're Herman Miller Aeron chair and your three screens and all that crap. I'm talking about, I got tennis elbow in both of my arms so bad that I had to pick up a full glass of beer with two hands, and I'm totally not joking about that.
It's awkward. It is.
It really ruins your tennis game.
Yeah, my serve is terrible now.
Gone.
But and keep in mind, I had come from 16 and a half years of brewing before that. This wasn't new to me. These weren't new muscle groups. There's nothing about it. It was just that it was that much more.
Wow.
You know? The stress was unbelievable. There was a point we had the doors open for maybe, six, 7 weeks, something like that. And I realized that if we hadn't made a deal with our distributor when we first started, because if people don't know this, distributors own your brand, so a lot of times they might actually buy the rights to your brand, so we got a small payment from our distributor before we even sold them any beer. But I realized that if we hadn't gotten that payment, we would have had only something like $25,000 in the bank. Which, again, if you've only ever bought a Honda, you're like, Honda, right? not even a Civic. But when you're running a business and, you know, every load of malt is $6,000 or $7,000, yeah, a little rough. So that freaked me out. At one point, I swear to God, I was talking to my wife and she was asking me various things, and I collapsed on the floor and was like hyperventilating in my hands. It was really a high point in my life.
So you did have a complete meltdown.
I had a complete on the floor, tearing up, hyperventilating. I can't do this anymore. I had one of those.
And you managed to keep this wife. I know her. She's a lovely woman. How did you do that?
Yeah, so the first year was so stressful that Emily told me, and that's my wife, Emily told me about, I don't know, maybe midway through year two. She's like, you don't understand how bad it was. I couldn't even recognize you as you. She's like, you would come home and you acted completely different. She's like, you weren't anyone that I knew. She's like, we'd been together for 20 years. And so she's had faith. She knew that I was going to come back to being me. But there was a good 8-9 months where she was just like, I just trying to stay out of his way. It was bad. It was really, really bad.
So Van, what advice would you give to aspiring home brewers or aspiring brewery owners? After your experience starting Gigantic.
Keep your hobby a hobby. What? I love cars. Have I tried to start making cars? No, that's fucking ridiculous.
Good advice.
I like to tell people that I once built a really, really fast Toyota Corolla. Doesn't make it the best Toyota Corolla, and it doesn't mean that you could sell any of them. It was faster than everyone else's Corolla. It also doesn't mean I can run the engineering department at Toyota. Doesn't mean I can run an assembly line or run a goddamn car factory. What the hell does that have to do with making cars? Nothing.
We're happy that you didn't keep your hobby your hobby. We're happy that you...
But, well, the other thing... Well,
you've had experience, of course, 16 years in breweries.
That's the other thing. I mean, I think it's really... I think you're incredibly lucky or just, what's that term? Where you're just an idiot and stumble into good things all the time. It's sort of like Mr. Magoo, you know? If you whatever, homebrewed for 5 years, think it's ready to turn pro and you actually make a go of it and it actually works. To me, I'm just like, wow, I guess you got all the breaks in the world. Because what you do as a professional brewer and what you do as a home brewer are not that similar. They just aren't. It's like, as simple example, how many times as a home brewer do you have to change a pump seal? Probably never.
Never.
How many times as a home brewer do you have to worry about your evaporator fans on your glycol system going down? Never. How many times as a home brewer do you have to, figure out really complicated ways of doing malt delivery and things like that? Never. You pick it up, you put it in. It's like the skill set's completely different, you know? So I'm not saying that people can't do it, but I mean, I think it really behooves you to actually get a job somewhere. Mm-hmm. Learn something, you know? I mean, I don't know. The craft world has been so crazy for the last 5-6 years, it seems that you can just jump into it. But I think that's sort of the equivalent of it being like 1840s in England, and you're like, so this steam engine thing, right? Are these dangerous? I can put wheels on it, right? And then I heard something about a track, and suddenly, 5 years later, you're like, run half of England's transport system. I mean, that's kind of what like craft brewing's been like, but try to start a railroad now.
Right.
So how much do you think that's luck hard. Played into your experience where you're putting in all this time and thought and care and intentionality into what you're doing, so?
I gotta be honest, I don't think very much luck happened at all. I think, let me tell you where the luck happened for me. I got fired. That was the luckiest thing that happened to me, is getting fired. I really mean that. I don't think anything else about Gigantic is luck at all.
So step one, potential brewers.
Get fired.
Get fired.
Definitely. Definitely get fired. But I mean that. I mean, we had a lot of experience.
That's what worked for me, to be honest. In what
the
I
same
do.
Thing?
Yeah, not brewing, but yeah.
Yeah. I mean, well, it's like in The Simpsons when Lisa Simpson says, you know, Dad, the ancient Chinese had the same word for crisis as they did for opportunity. Homer says, yes, crisis-tunity. It's a little crisis-tunity, right?
Mm-hmm. That's right. You know? Well, obviously, Gigantic Brewing has been a huge success. Yeah. Van, thanks again for dropping by today and hitting us over the head with a pipe wrench, getting us buzzed.
Cheers.
Cheers.